This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez with the top business stories of the day. And we're going to be going to Amazon first. Of course, there we're looking at the purchase of Whole Foods Market, perhaps a signal that bricks and mortar still rule the day. But to tell us more, I'm going to leave it to the both of you. Brian, what do we know about this particular acquisition?
Well, Walmart, basically Amazon bought Whole Foods for $13.7 billion. Now, the whole idea of this is Amazon has actually been trying for over a decade to break into the grocery market. Now, that business is an $800 billion US dollar business. And the trick with Amazon is they keep iterating and innovating. They failed since 2007. They started off with Happy Fresh. They've tried various different, they've rolled out in many various US states and Tokyo and Berlin. They have been now starting to get traction. However, with this acquisition, that puts them in a completely different level.
I think you meant to say Amazon Fresh, not Happy
Amazon
Fresh.
Fresh. Sorry.
Yeah.
Amazon
Happy Fresh,
Fresh
is the one here in Malaysia. No, yeah. Now, this is an interesting development because, you know, with Amazon, you know, they are very often synonymous with that mantra of we don't buy, we build, right? But obviously, with Amazon's failed forays into the grocery market, you know, it looks like they are going to go down the path of inorganic growth. And perhaps with this proposed acquisition of Whole Foods that comes to the tune of $13.7 billion US dollars could be wrapped up in the second half of this year. We'll have to wait and see.
Han, you know, one of the drivers of the M&A story last year was the idea that cash was cheap, that you could go out and do, you know, go on a spending spree because you could borrow quite cheaply. Is that the case in this Amazon acquisition? Is it about cheap cash?
No, I think the fundamentals here is not just, you know, the kind of credit conditions that you are seeing in the States, you know, with very accommodative monetary policy, shall we put it that way? But, no, but again, just looking at just this deal here, you know, it seems to be a sign of confidence for brick and mortar, you know, because Amazon very often has been synonymous with, basically bypassing those brick and mortar stores. Let's just get everything online. They have this huge logistics warehouse. They'll send you whatever you want, you know, in 24 hours, 48 hours, you know, whatever it is, or even deliver, say, video content, right, over these online platforms. But yet, here you have this corporate deal of them actually buying into brick and mortar stores.
Han, I think it leads back to what Sharad said in an earlier session about liking to browse the aisles for fresh produce. Amazon, with the decade of experimentation, realized that they couldn't shortcut that process. They needed that last mile connectivity, so to speak.
And now you've got people like Sharad who obviously fall into that category.
Because, yeah, no, you want to look at whether your tomatoes are blemished or not?
Yeah, and in fact, Sharad is not alone here. So you've got this commentary from Tabs Analytics. That's TABS Analytics. So apparently, how about this? Only 4.5% of U.S. shoppers made frequent online grocery purchases in 2016. All right, and you know, and the growth, say from 4 years before that, you know, 2012 or so, was only by 0.3 percentage points. In other words, what that means is, according to Tabs Analytics findings, people still want to go to the store and actually, you know, browse the aisles and actually touch and smell all these grocery, you know, items, you know. So it's not so much a demand of, you know, I mean, like this whole premise of saving people a trip to the store, although it will be appealing to some, like, say, new parents, right? You know, but generally speaking, that demand isn't really there.
You know, just listening in on the major conversations about tech that happen globally, is one of the things that's driving tech innovation is the idea that you have a unique insight into consumer behavior. Mm. And how people operate. And that is the basis for a new app, a new way of managing, the online space. And I think that is a fascinating story. I don't know if it's here, but I think in some ways echoes what you just said, Brian, about the way which people actually buy.
Yeah, so, and that's an interesting point, Sharad, because Amazon really pioneered that whole deep dive into analytics of consumer purchasing behavior online. They've obviously figured out that they haven't figured everything out. There has to be a physical presence in it.
What else are we seeing? I mean, so we have Amazon coming in. We also maybe ask the question, what's the impact going to be on the other players in that grocery space? We know because on Friday, concerns about the increasingly cutthroat nature of the industry, Walmart store stock values fell by some 7.1%, and Kroger, I believe it's called, Kroger tumbled some...
Kroger. Yeah, man.
Kroger tumbled 70%. There, I don't know, what is it that the word Kroger does to you? Is it you remember some salty crisps?
No, Kroger is the name of another grocery store chain in the States, which I absolutely miss.
You made that sucking sound with the thing.
I was like, it pains my heart to know that we're talking about Kroger and I'm not there to browse the aisles. Okay. But yes, you've got other retailers there who are now shaking in their boots, so to speak, because now you've got Amazon and their disruptive power set to disrupt their entire industry. There's talk of, say, job cuts, with Whole Foods. Keeping in mind here real quick, you may not be familiar with Whole Foods, but Whole Foods is very atas lah, okay? They are seen to be quite the premium brand. So now that Amazon wants to buy Whole Foods, what would that do for the likes of Walmart, for Kroger's, Target, etc.?
Now, what will that do then for the likes of you and me in Malaysia? Now, what's happening locally in the grocery and on-demand space? Really, Tesco, I think, was the pioneer in Malaysia. I remember ordering stuff in 2013 when they started. I think it was one of the early adopters. And recently, they have partnered with Happy Fresh, which has been operating since 2015. And they are a last mile on-delivery premium service. So things are happening. I mean, there is disruption happening in the retail space as well in Malaysia.
Okay, now we move on to the other story that's getting all of us excited. The only one person in this studio actually has a child, but this is the introduction of a 1 month paid paternity leave. This is because it was announced by CIMB on Father's Day that fell yesterday. Brian, would you have welcomed the 1 month paid paternity leave?
Absolutely, and.
No surprise there.
Yes, of course.
But would you have spent it looking after your newborn, or would you have been out on the golf course, or would you have been just partying with your friends?
So it's not nice, Shiraz.
So here's the thing. So I became a father at 37. So it's relatively later compared to most people. I would have been a terrible father at 27, probably going to the golf course or partying. But at 37, I changed my daughter's diapers, cleaned her poo, bathed her, and so forth.
I don't think you're allowed to say that on live radio, but everyone.
But that's the whole point. So the point for why organizations are rolling out all these incentives, and Maybank has a one-year, for example, maternity initiative that's just started. It's all about trying to retain and attract talent to their organizations, retain top talent.
Okay, if you have a point of view on this, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also text us, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. That's 789-8899. It's a new number. Just, keep that conversation going.
And, just real quick here, keep in mind, just reading the press statement, this applies only to firstborns. So if you're a dad and you work for CIMB and you already have 3-4 kids and you're driving to work right now saying, I'm going to talk to HR right now. I need to backdate some of these paternity leaves.
Well, backdate. What about the future? Brian, do you think this makes sense to only award this for the first child?
Actually, I do. And I have a contrarian view from that in terms of being a father. Yes, it's very important, especially for your first child. It's an amazing experience. But I think for the employer, it's a costly exercise to roll out this benefit. Now, I believe that if you're a performing employee, if your annual rating is above 3/5, hey, you should get it for maybe subsequent children. If you're just an average employee, you're not working hard, then you shouldn't.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Okay. That's a strangely draconian view.
Incentivized baby making right now. Nice. All right.
I don't know, Brian. I don't know. Anyway, we're coming up to the news at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. And then after that, we'll have the opening numbers of the stock market and more analysis on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.